And welcome back to the Greg Herenda Show, where today we are honored and privileged. I guess, Andrew, I have to announce you as the partner to Steve Lapis. We have CBS Sports play-by-play announcer Andrew Catalan on the Greg Herenda Show. Andrew, welcome.
Greg, it's an honor to be on your show. It was an honor to call your tournament games the last few times, and thanks for having me.
Oh, man, and it's duly noted, your wife is letting you do this interview. You're on vacation, man, and that'll tell our audience how committed you are to your job, to Steve Lapis, and to college basketball. Tell me, I know, you know, you do a lot for CBS. You do college basketball, the NFL. We're going to talk Masters. I don't want you to spill your guts. What's your, if at the end of the day, gun to your head, your favorite thing to cover?
It's a tough question. I'm asked it a lot, Coach. I would say that being in an NFL booth every Sunday is a dream come true for me.
Yes.
Growing up in New Jersey,
yes,
watching Giants games every Sunday with my family, and now to be in a booth is really special to me and my family. Now, that doesn't take away the fun I have during the NCAA tournament or the Masters.
Yes.
But I never lose sight of the fact that I'm doing an NFL game every Sunday.
Andrew, this show is about the origin, the genesis of what makes you who you are. When was the first moment that you realized that, guess what, man, I want to do this. I want to go to Syracuse, and I want to be doing NFL, NCAA. I want to go to the Masters. Was this at a really young age? Did it hit you when you were in high school? What was that seminal moment when you realized what your passion was all about?
It was pretty early, and I know that's rare. I know not everyone knows what they want to do till after college or even, you know, years down the road. So I consider myself lucky in the sense that, you know, I used to listen to Yankee games on the radio on my headphones, on my Walkman when I was a little kid, and used to listen to the games as I was falling asleep when they'd have West Coast games. And just getting that little sense of the radio and broadcasting and sports at a young age really kind of set the path. And I went to Milburn High School in New Jersey.
Oh,
and I
used
to do the PA announcing for, you know, girls' basketball games, Pop Warner football games. So just to be behind the microphone at that age really kind of set the tone. And always knew Syracuse had a good broadcasting school and kind of had my dream to go there when I started into high school. And lucky enough to get in and kind of go from there. But, yeah, I did know at a young age. I always loved sports. I knew I wasn't going to be good enough to play them, so I wanted to be around them somehow, and this was the way.
Now, Syracuse, did you do research? It's not hard to do, you know, the Marv Alberts and the Bob Costases of the world. So did you automatically apply solely to go to Syracuse? Or what was your, you know, take me back to your high school days. What was your college decision? Was it that's where I wanted to be and go, and I wanted to go to the Newhouse School? Or were you open and you kind of evolved into Syracuse?
No, my number one was always the Newhouse School at Syracuse.
Yes.
I applied early and did not get in. I was accepted into the university, but I was not accepted into the Newhouse program. So when I got that letter, I kind of had to think, you know, do I want to reroute and go somewhere else? Because there's so many good, you know, broadcast journalism programs around the country. Or, you know, this is my dream. I want to go here. Do I want to work really hard my freshman year, get the grades, and then transfer into Newhouse? And ultimately, that's what I decided to do. It was a great decision. I think it's a lot harder to do that now. I think I kind of
beat
the system. I took a few, you know, racquetball classes my freshman year to bring the GPA up.
Yes.
But it worked, and I got into Newhouse my sophomore year and then went from there.
At Syracuse, what exactly did you do? Did you do basketball games, football games? What was your practical experience?
So there was a radio station up there, WAER, and all the guys that you mentioned before, I would say the majority, if not all of them, have gone through WAER. So I got involved with them as a freshman. You kind of got to work your way on air by doing sports updates. And then I remember sitting in the Carrier Dome stands all the way at the top with a tape recorder and announcing a practice football game or basketball game into a tape recorder. And then eventually sophomore year, got on the air, and we did football, basketball, and lacrosse. And, you know, we did every home game, every road game. I went to Alaska for the Great Alaska Shootout my senior year in basketball. So it's a tremendous radio station. A lot of my Syracuse memories are from that radio station, and still a lot of my good friends to this day are from there. So that radio station was an integral part of my Syracuse experience.
Andrew, now you're that moment, the phone call, the interview with CBS. When did that occur, and how did that occur?
And so my career, you know, everyone has a different path. And sure. I get a lot of kids these days, like, you know, what's the way I should do it? There's no right answer. Everyone has a different path to every journey in their life. So, you know, most of my career early on was in local television. My first job out of college was Burlington, Vermont. I was the local sports anchor up there. Then I was in Albany, New York as a sports anchor there on the 6 and 11 o'clock news. Met my wife there. She's now a news reporter at WCBS in New York. But I really missed doing the games like I did in college. So I kind of kept my toe in the water with some play-by-play. I was able to get in with NBC, and then I ended up doing the Olympics with them. And then in 2010, CBS, the first thing I ever did for CBS was the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament.
Wow.
In 3D. They had this
really?
Experimental technology.
Yeah.
They needed someone to announce it, and they thought this was a good avenue for me to kind of get to know them, then to get to know me. It obviously wasn't going to a whole lot of people other than about 100 people at a 3D TV.
Sure.
But that was the first thing I ever did for them, and they liked me, and then brought me
3D.
To a golf tournament next
I was watching.
The following year and went from
hey,
there.
Hey, we have one of the 100 right here.
Yeah,
Kenny.
Andrew, I was tuned in. My dad had a 3D TV. I was one of the first people to get one. I was definitely
no
tuned
kidding.
Into that broadcast. I swear to you.
You are the first person I know that had a 3D TV. I got to be honest.
That is
fancy.
Classic. Now, like, what does it look like? The ball is coming at like, I don't get it. Like, did you have to wear
glasses?
You put the glasses
on?
You
feel like kind of on the court and at different angles than you're used to.
Kenny, did you like it, Kenny?
I thought it was neat. You know, you definitely see more dimensions. The ball looks rounder. You know, you can kind of see almost the whole thing.
Right.
It's very realistic. It's, you know, definitely was in its early phases back then. I'm sure it's gotten better over the years.
So they liked you. You were a 3D guy.
Yeah, hey, right? My biggest thing I learned over the years is you never say no.
That's
Anytime
right.
Anytime you get asked to do something, you do it to your best of your ability, and that shows versatility. It shows a willingness to want to be there and do it, and that served me well.
Now, you go from 3D. What's the first big gig that you get with CBI? Like, what's that first game, the first call, the first time you're like, wow, this is legit, I'm on?
So the following year, 2011, they asked to look at some of my preseason football tape because I was doing some preseason games for the Cleveland Browns. And they said, hey, we need someone to do our week 4 NFL game between the Bills and the Bengals.
Okay.
And it was going to 2% of the country because, you know, NFL games are regionalized.
Yes.
So
yes.
It was obviously not a big ticketed item, but so there I was. I didn't sleep the whole night before the game. I was up the entire night.
I can imagine.
I couldn't go to sleep. Running on adrenaline.
Yeah.
Sure enough, the game at the 2-minute warning is tied. And it was
oh,
the only game
and it goes
that
national.
CBS still had going in the 1 o'clock window.
How
and
great
it went
is
to the whole country.
Yes.
At the end of the game, and the Bengals won on a field goal, and everything went well. And you know that kind of kept me in the loop with them. And then 2013 is really when I started to do some steady work with them for football and college basketball.
And now you're with James Lofton most of the time when I see you doing a game. And I have to ask you, because I don't think people understand how much time goes into the preparation as a coach for a game. I can only imagine the preparation that you do for to just let's just say Sunday ends and you have a game at Sunday at 1 the next week. Just put us through the preparation and how you actually prepare for that next week, how long it takes and how many days prior do you start working on that?
Yeah, so football is a whole different animal. Like for a basketball game, you really got 8 guys, right, that you're worried about on each
right.
team. But for football, you got 53 on each team. So I get home usually Sunday night after a game.
Right.
Monday morning, I'm already working on the next game. I like to watch the entire game that the team played that prior day.
So okay.
If you watch an NFL game with no commercials, that's 2.5 hours a team. So that's 5 hours right there.
Sure.
And then I hand write all of my
You
starts.
Do. I love it. So you're old school.
I am. So each color on my chart means a different thing.
Yeah.
And even if I have the same team 2 weeks in a row, redo it all. And, you know, the process is the entire week because there's so much information out there. You want to read the newspaper clippings about each team. You want to know the storylines beyond the stats.
That's right.
You
have to be in front of the fans. You can't be behind the fans because the NFL now, a fan has the ability to accrue all that data and information, correct? I mean, so you can't be sleeping on this wheel.
Of course. And you think about a Giants fan. They're going to watch every single game the entire season.
Yes.
I'm going to do maybe one Giants game a year.
Right.
And I'm not watching every single one of those
you
games.
Can't.
So that was the thing that used to drive me crazy as a kid and a Yankee fan.
Right.
You'd have the national audience and some of the announcers.
Oh, you're right.
They wouldn't know.
You're right.
His storyline or what happened the week before. And that drove me crazy. So that fuels me to not be that like that, to make sure that I try to catch up and know as close as much to I can as the fan that watches every game.
Kenny, that's a good thing you need to know. Back in the day, the game of the week was on NBC, and it would be Kurt Gowdy would go play-by-play, and he'd be on with Tony Kubek. And those guys would do a Met game. Well, rarely the Mets because the Mets were so bad then. But but you would hear them, and they wouldn't like know what you knew. That's so true, Andrew. And today, the fans are so like they're just so knowledgeable. There's so much information and access that it just keeps you on top of your game. So it's good to see, Andrew, that you have a lot of old school traits, although you're a young guy.
Well, I appreciate that. And along those lines, changing the subject of
hoops
and you guys this year, you know how, I mean, the fact that there are so many great levels to Steve Lapis calling your game against Gonzaga, but to me, the best thing about it was that he watched almost every single one of your games.
No, you're right, you're right.
So if it was a different 16 seed that we had, I don't know if we would have done half of the justice that Steve did knowing your team so much. And that, I thought, was a huge thing for you guys and for us as a broadcast team.
Well, thank you, Andrew, for the segue. And the segue had to happen, and the segue is to the one, the only, Steve Lapis. And this is another show. We can do a series on Steve Lapis. But you working, by the way, Andrew, just so you know, he, like, loves you. Like, he talks about you with, like, in deity form.
We
like,
got it on tape.
You are just the guy. Tell me about your relationship and how important it is to be on step with James Lofton, on step with Steve Lapis when you're doing a game.
Well, I feel the same way about Coach Lapp. I mean, he has become not just a broadcast partner, but a dear friend. And when you think about it, you know, you have half your schedules at home, Greg.
Right.
All of our games are on the road during
that's a great point. Yes.
We spend a lot of time together on the road, traveling, hotels, breakfast, whatever the case may be, that for the basketball season, I see Steve more than I see my wife.
I know.
We're travel partners.
That's sad.
So it is so sad. it's bad.
give me something that even Pete and I in the audience, something that we don't know, just something small. I know how, you know, he scouts and he's prepared and so forth. Is there any nugget that you can – does he get really nervous before the game? Does he not eat? Give me some friendly fodder about Steve Lapis and doing games with him. Can you help me out with that?
He wakes up like 5 o'clock in the morning.
That's right.
We could be in Reno, Nevada, 3 hour time change. Doesn't matter.
He's up.
You know, 5 o'clock in the morning, and he reads the New York Post online every single day. Now here's a guy, obviously from New York, hasn't lived in New York.
Yeah, in a long time.
Coaching in Manhattan.
That's right.
He still reads the New York Post every day online. And I'll say the little thing about him, he wants to know exactly when are we eating lunch.
Yes.
And where are we going after the game for dinner.
Oh, that's huge.
He wants to know, like, 8 a.m. I'll get a text, where's dinner tonight? Coach, let me get my morning coffee here first.
Right, right.
You know, we'll move on with our day. But he is very detailed about his meals, his drinks,
yes.
and his New York Post.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Amen. And he's meticulous. Like, and how about the whole tweeting thing? Isn't he getting into it, like, with people on the West Coast when he does games? If he does it for CBS Sports Network, he just goes after people still. This guy, he can't help himself. Is that correct?
Yeah, they tell you, don't respond. Just let it go.
He can't do that.
Not everyone, especially on Twitter, is going to be nice. But he can't help himself. He goes back at people, and that's just who he is. You know what? His credit, that's who he is. He's not changing who he is.
And people, in all seriousness, people don't realize what a good guy he is. Because when he was at Villanova in the national you see a coach screaming at refs, screaming at his players, frustrated, and you think that is the guy. And you and I both know, Andrew, that's not the guy. How much fun is it to be with Steve Lapis?
It's a blast.
Right?
I am so lucky. We added it up. It's like over 200 games we've done together.
Wow.
You don't get that a lot of places.
No,
no. You know, if you do the Nets games, like Iron Eagle, I've done that many games with Jim Spanarko. I get that. But when you're talking about the situation that we're at, you don't find that. So
yep.
I know what he's going to say. He knows what I'm going to say. We can just look at each other and know where we want to go. And, you know, the best part about it, too, is, you know, you want to have fun during the broadcast.
That's
you want
right.
to inform, but you also want to entertain.
Yeah.
And now it's to the point where all the things I just said to you about him, I could say on the air, and he can go back at me and bust me about stuff. And that's
exactly
what makes it, I think, a good listen. We're talking basketball. We're informing you, but we're also having a good time. And it's because of our relationship. It's because of all the breakfasts,
sure.
the dinners, the coffees, the drinks. Getting to know him feeling comfortable with me and vice versa,
yep.
makes a huge difference.
Andrew, who was the matchmaker that put you guys together? Who was the person that said, okay, I think, you know, Andrew and Steve will be perfect together? Could you give that person credit?
So, sure. There was a couple of people, Ross Malloy and Ben Stauber. They were pretty much our guys that we still lean on for our CBS and CBS Sports Network assignments. Interestingly, we started as a three-man team. It was me, Steve, and Doug Gottlieb. And the three of us were a team for a while, and that was a fascinating year.
I could only imagine that.
Yeah, and then as things changed, it was just me and Steve. But we started off as a three-man team, which was the original creation, and then it just morphed into me and Steve.
Andrew, the Masters this year was just incredibly engaging. Tiger, the story, the comeback. Tell people what you do for CBS with golf, because I would think, and I don't, this is not a knock, obviously, 99% of America watches Jim Nance call it, and with the rest of the crew. What exactly do you do for CBS Sports with the Masters?
Absolutely. So I do the feature group coverage, which is online on the Masters app. It's on DirecTV. And on Thursday and Friday, you know, the Jim Nance team, they don't start until 3 o'clock. That's when the television coverage begins.
Exactly.
The Masters on the first two rounds. But starting at 9 a.m. all day, we're online or on this app, which is incredible if you've ever seen it.
I've got to get
really,
this
the only
out.
Way to watch the Masters live on Thursday and Friday
True.
Is on the feature group channel or a couple of the other channels we have. And
yep.
I work with Billy Kratzer, who was a great golfer.
Oh, yeah, Billy Kratzer. That's my day.
Yeah, Billy Kratzer, yeah. Tied for fifth at the 1970.
And are you calling holes? Where are you physically on the grounds?
I'm located in the TV compound, and we're following groups. So we're not on
gotcha.
The course. We're just off the course, and we're in this TV compound. But, you know, Thursday we'll have Tiger's group, and you follow him every shot through his 18 holes and Mickelson's group and so on. And
gotcha.
So forth. So
gotcha.
It's been a great way for me to get experience.
That's awesome.
On golf.
Yes.
Yeah, something that I love doing. And at the same time, it's become more and more popular as everyone has their phones and their iPads.
No, it's so much. Yeah, no, exactly.
The way to watch.
Greg, I have this thing going all day.
Oh, you do?
My iPad is just sitting there, whether I'm at my desk or Thursday and Friday.
You're watching.
I don't get a lot of work done. Thankfully, I'm my own boss here. So
and did you hear?
Matter.
Do you hear Andrew?
Absolutely.
How good is he, Kenny?
It's killer, and it's really cool with the featured groups too, because you know, I guess you get to research all of those guys, and that's who you focus on, so you
right.
can get a lot more information out there as far as you know, covering a hole where you're getting a different person every time.
That's cool, Andrew. The story. Now, I love the game of golf. I love to play it. I love to follow it. I love to read about it. What I think, and tell me if I'm wrong, and maybe you guys covered it, but I don't think it was covered the way it should have been. I think Tiger's comeback was incredible. I think the day was incredible. And the story is all Tiger. But the story that was missed, and maybe I just missed where it was presented, was how these guys didn't step up to Tiger. Like, Tiger shot 70 on Sunday. Is that correct, Andrew?
I think so, yes.
And
only a couple under, yeah.
I just like, and you can blame it, like on number 12 when they all went into the water, you know, that was the defining probably hole. But how these young guys, not one of them was able to step up that day and say, Tiger, you had your day and it's over. I think that's a big part of the story. He deserves everything that he gets. I get it. But no one stepped up to this guy. No one.
It's funny, Greg, because the first nine holes, Billy Kratzer and I were saying, especially the way Molinari was playing. I mean,
right.
He wasn't making bogeys.
He was solid. Yes.
So we were saying, Tiger's going to have to go beat Molinari. Molinari
exactly.
is going to lose this tournament. And for the first 10, 11 holes, that's the way it was playing out until they got to 12.
Wow.
And that's when the tournament flipped. And I think after Tiger got the lead, and then you had a Koepka,
yes.
Dustin Johnson, they were running out of holes a little bit. But at the same time, to your point, they had never been in a situation, PGA Championship last year
right.
in Belrive a little bit as Tiger made that run. But they had
right.
never been at Augusta. On
no,
the second nine
no
on
question.
Sunday, when the guy on the leaderboard that everyone's cheering for is making a charge. Now, did that come into play a little bit? I mean, Koepka had a chance to make birdie 17 and 18, didn't do it. Maybe. I, to your point, I agree with you there.
I think it was really kind of disappointing. I just wanted to, for the golfer in me, I wanted Tiger to go into a playoff with somebody, and then it would be mano a mano. But that was a tremendous day, taking nothing away from Tiger Woods, taking nothing away from Andrew. Andrew, you should get the Purple Heart Award for carrying Steve Lapis all over the country. We've got to cut this off because your wife, Jessica, I'm sure she's at the pool. She's got a few drinks. It's your vacation, man, and no one deserves it more than you. You're a hardworking, great guy. I can't appreciate so much for you coming on the show today, Andrew. I really mean that.
Greg, it's an honor to have you guys in the tournament again. Anytime you want me on your show, I'm here. And
I love it.
Success to you and FDU.
Andrew, thanks so much. Good luck with everything. Enjoy, and we'll see you soon. We'll be back with more of the Greg Herenda Show after this.